Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to this week's Coach K and Joe show. I'm Joe Milligan, joined by the Coach K, Ken Schulteis. Coach, you got with me?
I am now, but I did not hear any of the introduction. I didn't get to hear our classic music start to the show, so I was a little bit nervous, Joe. I thought maybe you cut me off.
Actually, I'm playing it again right now, and it's not playing for some reason, so I'm not sure what's going on, but as long as you can hear, I can hear you and you can hear me, that's the main thing right now. So,
the bigger thing is that listening to the show can hear us. That's the most important thing. So obviously if they can't hear us, we can't ask them to text us and let us know, but we can tell them this, that if they are listening to the show and they want to participate, because this is a participation show, you call in, you tweet us, you text us, you can tweet me directly at Coach K and Joe on Twitter, and that's Coach K and Joe on Twitter, or you can call in at 773-897-6325. So, Joe, we got to hope they can hear us.
Coach, I just logged on another computer, and we're coming through. So I'm not quite sure why the ads aren't playing and stuff, but if not, you know that we'll just have to – those have to deal with us, won't they?
Well, the bad thing is for our advertisers. We got
to
make sure
we will have
go,
to discuss that. Yes, we will have to discuss them a little bit. Since we weren't able to say it at the beginning, you know, we'd like to thank Ubler and Sons. Have come on. You know, they were sponsors early in the show, but they've come on as a full time sponsor now. On the show, Ubler Sons and Jasper and Ben Sins. If you're in search of a vehicle, you know, Tony Ubler and the guys out there will go out there and they'll treat you right. Right, Coach?
Oh, there's nobody better than Tony and the gang. Great place. Kurt Lorai, all those guys, wonderful place to get a car and like they say, where people send family and friends. So we're happy to have Ubler and Sons as a full-time supporter of the show, and we'll make sure that they benefit as much as we benefit. Joe, wow. We've got high school football, of course, regional rounds this weekend. But, man, we've had a lot going on, period, in sports all week. We had the big night of college hoops a few nights ago. We had the Kentucky-Michigan State matchup. Then we had Kansas and Duke. But before that, preceding that, was like 24-hour marathon of the opening of college hoops season on ESPN. And I got to tell you, I had a lot of fun being able to tune into that at any time of the day or night and watch a college basketball game.
Yeah, I thought about you right away when I heard it was a 24-hour days of hours of hoops. And I figured you were a big part of watching that. And did you get off the couch the whole day?
Oh, I was up and all over the place. I just made sure all the TVs were turned on, and whatever room I went in, there was a game going on. But I loved what ESPN did. I hope that they will expand it. I know that the Michigan State-Kentucky matchup, Kansas Duke, that's a tough, tough matchup if you're a coach early in the season, especially if you've got a young team. And I thought, Joe, the youth of Kentucky, the youth, the youngness, the inexperience, not the talent, because they got plenty of talent. This is a much better group of Kentucky freshmen this year than last year. And I got to tell you, the first half, the first 8 minutes, you could see a little bit of the timidness, those freshmen maybe not being in that kind of a situation, in that type of arena, with that type of crowd, with that type of exposure. But after about the 10-minute mark in that first half, that Kentucky team started to settle down, made it a game all the way to the end. If you take away the early turnovers, at one point, Kentucky had 13 turnovers, and I think Michigan State had zero. If you take away those early turnovers, That's a totally different game. And Julius Randle, I'm not a Kentucky fan. I'm not a Coach Cal fan. I just don't like the swarminess of how things are done there. I know they're not in trouble with the NCAA. I know it's first class. But I don't like what I feel like a swarminess about it. But Julius Randle is the real deal, along with Wiggins of Kansas and Parker of Duke. Those are three top-notch basketball players. I don't know what's in the water or what kind of genetic herbs and spices were being fed to these kids growing up, but how do you turn in to be a player like that physically at age 18, 17, 19? It's amazing, Joe. So, one thing we want to look at, I think Joe's on the line trying to find out why the intro didn't run. The most important thing is my voice is running, so that matters. I want to give a shout-out to our contributor, Don Schulteis. His daughter, Geneva, is recovering. Listen to this, folks, recovering from some spinal surgery. They placed two rods in her spine to help her out. She had some scoliosis situations, and a few days after the surgery, everything went well, and she's doing well. So her uncle Ken, Coach K, wants to give her a shout-out. Other things that happened over the week, Florida State's freshman sensation quarterback, controversy there. Some harassment charges are being levied against him. Both the university and the football team are trying to downplay it the best they can. But, you know, the Heisman voting's coming up, folks. And when the Heisman voting comes up, you just don't know what people are going to say and what they're going to try to do. So I hope that this young man did not do anything, but he's just had a sensational freshman year. And he has taken Florida State, much to the chagrin of Ohio State fans, and vaulted that team back into prominence. It's been a few years, really, back into prominence, and they are number two in the polls, number two in the BCS. And at this point, Florida State and Alabama, another great Alabama team under Nick Saban, would match up for a national championship. And I know Ohio State fans, and I know a few of them. In fact, Bill Somm, a contributor to the show, who will be on the show later, he's a big Ohio State fan. Shocking that Ohio State could run the table again. And if you're not sure what run the table means, it means going undefeated. It is shocking that this team could go undefeated 2 years in a row. Obviously, they couldn't play for a national championship last year. And not be in the national title game. They're not in a minor conference. You know, they're not in the MAC. They're not Northern Illinois, who barely slid by Ball State the other night at number 15. They're Ohio State of the Big Ten. And even though Colin Cowherd and some of the other people at the mothership, ESPN, as Dan Patrick always called them, but then Dan Patrick gives into the mothership, it's the Big Ten. And even though those guys sometimes don't give football in the Big Ten, the credit maybe, they're still a major conference. So to have Ohio State in a position to run the table and not play for national championship is odd, strange. So you just never know. Also, IU football team rebounds after a really devastating loss to Minnesota, comes back, figures it out by the fourth quarter, and beats Illinois. It was a good game. If you saw the game, it was a good game. A lot of offense. At times, decent defense, but a lot of offense. Now, you can say, well, Coach K, that's because they're terrible defense. it necessarily could be. But it was a win for the Hoosiers, and we got to find an upset on the road. I don't know if we can do it or not. And I say we because I'm a Hoosier fan. The Hoosier basketball team, Tom Crean's boys, start out the season 2-0. Wow. If you watch the Long Island University-Brooklyn game, we were lucky to win it. That is the Hoosiers. We're very, very fortunate to win it. In fact, it wasn't until about the 2.5-minute mark that it looked like IU could win it. Long Island University, Brooklyn, LIU Brooklyn, they were ready to play. Assembly Hall did not bother them in the least. They were probably one of the better teams that will play pre-conference. And I know a lot of people haven't heard of Long Island University, Brooklyn, but they have been an NCAA tournament team. Now, should they have played with IU at Assembly Hall? Probably not, but they did. And they almost beat the Hoosiers. The Hoosiers shot miserably. And it wasn't until a couple of uncontested threes late in the game, and I mean late in the game, by Will Sheehy and a putback by Will Sheehy, that really gave the Hoosiers a real chance to win that game. LIU Brooklyn missed a last-second shot that looked good but was short, and they come out 2-0. So there's two ways to look at this. This is a young Hoosier team who found a way to win early in the season on their floor. That's big for this team. Or there's the other side, the contrarian side, that says all these vaunted recruits the last few years, they're young, yes, but so is a lot of other teams. That's the way college basketball is today, young. And they can barely win at home. So it just depends on how you want to view it, how you want to look at it, what you think about it. We got a lot more to talk about. We've got the Colts, the team of two halves. We'll talk about them later in the show. The Pacers 8-0. We've got Bill Somm, who will be coming up in the second hour to talk about Indianapolis area teams in the playoffs. We've got Coach Beaning of the Southridge Raiders, sectional champs in a huge upset heard round the state of Indiana. He'll be up in the second hour. But after we come back from break, we're going to be talking to the voice of the Raiders and a tremendous sportscaster in southern Indiana. And you know him. He's a regular on the show, especially during the rant, Kurt Gooksell. He'll be on. We'll talk a little bit about Southridge and their game with Columbus East. Southridge taking on Paoli. But first, we're going to go to break. We're going to take care of the people who take care of us. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Stop torturing yourself, man. You'll never afford it. Live in the now.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, joined by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schulteis. Coach, at least for now, it looks like our technical glitch has been solved. So we'll just go on the show, and we'll have a great show like I knew we planned on having. And with us right now, we have Kurt Gooksell, DC Broadcasting Sports Director, and the voice of the Southridge Raiders, and we've got him here to talk a little Southridge versus Paoli, and also Jasper versus Columbus East. Two big games in Du Bois County tonight, and probably no one better to ask about those games than Kurt Cooksell. Duke, are you ready for a little football tonight?
I'm really ready for football. Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Coach. I think I am a technical glitch, but anyway, go ahead. What's going on this morning? I heard Coach K talk about some hand-wringing and some semi-cliff jumping with Indiana basketball fans. That's always good to hear so bright and early on a game day Friday.
Kurt, before we get into football, and we definitely want to because that's just a great win for the Southridge Raiders, no matter how you look at it, the Hoosiers just didn't want to shoot that ball very well the other night.
No, they didn't, and that's going to be their thing. Their outside shooting is going to be suspect. But you look at roster, there's not many dead-eye shooters from outside that arc, although, you know, he's capable, I guess, sometimes. He was cold early in that game, but kind of pulled him out of the fire. And that may be on Crean, not finding a shooter, because it seems like everybody has one of those dead-eye shooters, especially Indiana schools. But, you know, a lot of people were worried about that game, how it ended and how close it was. But, you know, that reminded me of one of those 12-5 NCAA tournament games where the favorite team, you know, has to struggle and win at the end. I mean, and that's just the way it was against an LIUB team that was a veteran team that was well put together against a team that was just thrown together as far as practice was concerned about 3 weeks earlier. So, I mean, you know, they give you all these games to get ready for the conference season and hopefully an NCAA tournament season. So, you know, relax a bit, right?
Yeah, I think so, Kurt. I think that when I looked at that game, watched it, you know, the fan in me is up clapping when things go well and just wringing his hands, like you said earlier, when things are in a struggle. But two things stand out to me that are positive for the Hoosiers. One, you played a team that didn't care what was on your jersey. They came in ready to play. Those guys hit. They didn't hit lucky shots. They hit good shots. And that's a concern of mine because we let them get a lot of good shots. But we did a good job, in my opinion, of weathering a storm mentally and physically and finding a way to hit the shots we needed at the end. For example, Sheehy comes up with a big rebound basket, offensive rebound basket underneath, big basket at the time. He hits two wide-open threes, which he had to hit. It was good to see Will Sheehy step up late as one of the true lone leaders on this team, but it was also important for this young group of Hoosiers to not just play in a tough game, but to find a way to hold on and win in a game that really didn't go their way.
Oh, I totally agree. And I mean, you can simulate stuff and practice. Those older guys, you know, the older guys that they do have can tell you about close games or how to play college basketball. But you get that in a game situation with the boats flying, with another good team in there. You love that situation, and you love it even more because you come out victorious. So, I mean, it was all right.
I think it's a really good win for a young team. That's how I look at it from a coaching standpoint. Again, there's the other side. We let them shoot a lot of good, easy, open shots. We're going to have to make some corrections there. But you can do that defensively if your young men are as athletic as they seem to be, as talented, then mentally they should be able to make the adjustments, communicate the way they need to. If they don't, well, then it's going to be a tough time because with the new rule. And that's something we can talk about, probably won't get to it here, but with that new rule, it changes the game a little bit in that you have to move your feet. And I started coaching focused on moving. You know how you get the towels out, Kurt? You have your kids hold them behind them so their hands can't play a part in the game, in the practice, and all they can do is move their feet. Well, that's what these teams are going to have to do because they are calling the hand check fouls.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it. They're going to let a lot of that stuff go on inside because that's just the way basketball is played. But, you know, somebody said, you know, everybody said, well, what about the new rules? It's not a new rule. They're just calling it the way basketball was meant to be called. You can't ride a guy up the floor. You can't use that arm bar. There's got free movement out there in the perimeter. Again, these have this non-conference slate to get ready for all that once the real games start, if you will, later on.
Yeah, and then the teams that can penetrate, the teams that will cut, the teams that will flash, the teams that will, I mean, really move on the floor are going to benefit on them calling the game the way it was originally put out there to call.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt, let's get to it. I think it was a big moment. I mean, I know that you followed the Raiders for years and you have a lot of confidence in them, but I'm going to tell you something. As a fan of sports in general, as a fan on every level, I looked at this modern-day Southridge matchup. I've been able to see modern-day a couple times. I saw bits and pieces on Southridge, had been following him, not only from what you've told me, but other people that had watched the Raiders. We knew they were a good football team. We knew Connor Craig and the rest of those guys can get things done. But I was concerned with the way they ended the season. Not that they didn't lose to a very good Gibson Southern team, because they were. But they struggled with Tell City, a good team on the road, and North Posey, not that great. And the last few years, they played Modern Day at home, and they couldn't get it together. I got to tell you, and this is from many people that I talk to outside of the DuBois County area, that was a program celebration win for Coach Buning and those Raiders. They knocked off a really good night in, night out, maybe not that night, modern-day team.
Most definitely. I'll talk about the modern-day victory in a second. But those rematches with Tell City and North Posey, I've seen down through the years where, you know, the card, you know, switches from the first game to the second game, and those two teams know each other so well in both those circumstances, in City and North Posey, and those teams came up here and just fought. And that's why I think those games were so close. I think some of the things that the Raiders learned in the Gibson Southern setback helped them in the Tell City game, and then the situation in the Tell City game when they barely eat by helped them in the North Posey game, and then on to the modern day game. But you're talking about the modern day game, you are 100% correct. This group of seniors, they've seen their season end for three straight years on the field against modern day. It really stuck in their craw last year. They put the ball on the ground or committed five turnovers last year. They were inside the modern day red zone in the 22-15 loss to modern day last year all night long. And for a year, it just stuck with them. And they came into this matchup with modern day with a lot of confidence. Something, and I've talked to you guys about this a lot when we talk modern day in Southridge, it's a team that they're comfortable with because they have a lot of confidence when they play modern day. They were well put together. Modern day was a huge, huge ball club, especially up front. But Southridge's linemen did a great job because they were quicker. They fired off the ball. And we're in the press box, and a lot of the Evansville followers up there said nobody has dominated modern day on the line of scrimmage like Southridge has done tonight when Southridge got off the 21-3 lead. I mean, they were down the field on three drives, you know, to put up 21 points before modern day knew what hit them. So, I mean, it was a game that Southridge felt really good about going in on what they saw and what they thought they could do to modern day. But on the same token, they knew that modern day was one of the best teams that they're going to play, and they treated them with that kind of respect. And, you know, in the end of the game, it was exactly like they thought it was going to be, a dogfight. So it was a huge win, and it set off a great celebration because those football sectional championships, no matter where you are special. It's over a three-week period of time against three different type of attacks that they had to go up against, and Southridge was ready for it. And I think they used those two other previous weeks of sectional football as building blocks, getting them ready for modern day. And if you talk to Coach Buning, I'm sure he didn't want the North Posey and Tell City games to be so close. But as a coach, and you know this, Kenny, that you learn stuff about your team in those type of situations.
Yeah, and Kurt, you're right. You do learn stuff, and the key in the tournament is survive to play another game, and that's what they did. And I don't want to, you know, from a standpoint, I never thought, and I've told you this all year, I've never thought Evansville football, high school football, was that good this year. I thought it was competitive. People wanted to use the word parity. I just thought they were down. But Modern Day was a team that I had seen and watched, and I just thought that they were a step above that, that this team would have maybe not win it all, but would be able to get through the first couple rounds, now, meaning first couple levels. Now, from a coaching standpoint, I've got to give Coach Buning and his staff a lot of credit, and I'm going to tell you why. And you know this from being around coaches for a long time, playing sports yourself. There's a fine line mentally for kids, for teams. When you play a team with tradition, when you play a team you've struggled with. When I was at Washington Catholic, that fine line was with Bar Eve and Ligoti, the great Ligoti teams, and Jack Butcher. When I was at Jasper, you ran into county rivalries, but you also ran into the Terre Haute teams and the New Albany teams. So there's always some a mental part in that. So here's Modern Day. They're coming in. This group of seniors has seen their team fall to them on their home field, I believe like 3 years in a row, something like that. And here's the mental part. This is why I give Connor Craig and the rest of the guys, and I'd name them all if I knew all of them. I don't. Connor's the one I hear the most about because he's a guy with football. I know Stetter at quarterback. There's this mental line, and they found a way. They found a way to say, we're going to use what you called the experiences of the last few years to vault them past and win it this time. Many teams, Kurt, many groups of seniors, juniors, I've seen it both against me and some of the teams I've had. Not a lot, but a few. Well, I don't know if we can beat them. Well, we've had a great year. Let's just give our best. I mean, there is that fine line when you've run into that wall so many times. This Raider football team, this coaching staff, they broke that wall down.
Well, and I they certainly did, and I think it goes back when Coach Buning was hired. I mean, again, as I told you, I just have a great respect for the Rick Southridge football way. All the coaches stayed on the staff because they love Southridge football. And I told you throughout the season how connected this program is. When everybody in the, whether it be the parents, the team, the coaching staff, they're all in it for one. And I know it's easy to say this when you win. You don't have many distractions or dissensions when you win. But I've never been, I mean, I've been around a lot of good programs, and there are a few that I've also seen this with. But everybody in that building, if you will, is connected. They have a common goal, and everybody is going in the same direction. And you can get your building, you can get your program in a direction that this is how we're going to do things. It filters down from the seniors to the juniors to the sophomores to the freshmen within the team, the coaching staff. You know, I've never been out there and having to hear them go, let's practice hard today. Let's watch tape like we need to today. Everybody does things on their own. They're just I call it being connected, everybody together. And I think that helped them, have this success this year and also have the success against Modern Day. And as I said earlier, and Southridge's coaches have talked about it before. There may be some teams on their schedule in the past that, you know, they were kind of leery of, or maybe they didn't have confidence playing against, but Modern Day wasn't one of those. They had some good confidence coming in. But, again, this coaching staff, the way they've got these players to play and vice versa, the way these players have responded to a coaching staff, it's great to see. And I know you would appreciate this kind of, again, connectedness as you have this program the way it is right now.
Well, I do appreciate it. And even though I'm not intimately involved in it, just watching this from the outside, first of all, I think football is one of the toughest sports to pull an upset on. I mean, your guys have to be capable of standing toe-to-toe with people physically. Obviously, this Southridge team was. But I think that the comments you made makes me look at this team and say, this is a team that's a high IQ team. And I want our listeners to understand, I'm not saying they're all 4.0 students. When I say high IQ team, I mean they understand what they need to do to be a good winning. Listen, not a good football team, a good winning football team, and they're willing, disciplined enough to do the things it takes. It's like you said, they were willing to go out and do what they needed to do. They didn't need someone always reminding them. They did those things on their own. To me, that's a high IQ team. That's a team that doesn't only work hard, but it works smart. It has purpose. It has focus. And that's why they pull a major upset, at least from the people outside of DuBois County,
right,
outside of the PAC, beating the number one team, a vaunted tradition under Mike Gable. It's a great victory. I can't say enough for Coach Buning and the Raiders.
Yeah, it was a great situation for him, a great celebration. But like so many weeks before, you know, you go out there Monday, and that page and that situation has been put behind them. They've turned that page, and they got after it this week as they get ready for Paoli, which is going to be another battle tonight. And it's a situation, you know, when you go in the tournament, you go along the path of the tournament, the bad teams are all weeded out. You know, you're going to get a different look that you haven't seen before, and that's what adds to the intrigue of the game. I mean, some teams don't appear to be as strong as other teams, but they'll give you a different look, something you haven't seen before. And playing tournament sports is exciting when you have that situation where you really don't know what to expect because you're not familiar with somebody. I mean, the team and the coaches are now familiar with Paoli and vice versa, but as a fan, as a broadcaster, you're kind of looking forward to a new situation.
Yeah, you know, Kurt, this is a great storyline, actually. People may not know, listeners especially outside of the southern part of Indiana or outside of the state of Indiana in general, because we do have listeners that tune in on the Internet from all over. But Coach Balzmeier of the Paoli Rams, here's a guy. I was still at Jasper when he was a young assistant coach. He's a Southridge native alumni. He came in, he was an assistant coach at Jasper, very energy-driven guy, excited, loved his sport, worked his kids hard. I could tell that he would move on because he'd want to be a head coach, and at that time Coach Brewer was there, Coach Ahrens was an assistant, and that there wasn't any opportunity really to get into that position. He chose Paoli. The Rams were better known, as you know, for basketball. It was not a football school that I remember. He's just done a marvelous job in creating a consistent winning program at Paoli.
And I agree. And the thing about this is, I think, and the really good Southridge football fans that I know and respect, it kind of mirrors what Southridge did. You know, they struggled for a long, long time. But then Coach Hanner came in, followed by Coach Murphy, now Coach Buning. They tore it down and built it from the ground up. And now they are, you know, a two-way power. Likewise at Paoli. Brian, at the ground up, he exploded everything from that program and started completely over. And, you know, basketball, a few other sports, you can perhaps turn it around real quick and get back to where you once were or start a new, you know, good type of program. But football, it's hard. There are teams in southern Indiana, the state of Indiana, every year that aren't very good. And they wonder why they can't turn it around. It's a variety of reasons. But to turn around a high school football program to get it where Paoli is and where Southridge is, you know, it's a miracle. And what Brian did there, again, he built it from the ground up. And I respect somebody that can take a program like that and get it to where it is. And that's what you're looking at Southridge and Paoli. And you do things right. You build a lower level of football with the grade school, just like you do in all the other sports, a feeder program, and you get it where you want it. And, you know, Brian has done that, and they're playing in a regional, and they've been successful the last few years.
Yeah, they've really done a nice job, and Coach Ballsmeyer is to be commended for what he did at Paoli, because I can tell you no one ever thought of Paoli when they when they talked football. And he's built it up, and they got in the weight room, and they got kids out, and they got them to care, and they created a mentality, like you said, and it takes a few years to do that in football, because that time in the weight room doesn't show up just spending 3 or 4 weeks. It takes a lot of time to do that. Kurt, the quarterback is his son. This is a good Paoli team, a sectional champion. When you look at their type of sectional and their schedule overall, how they got to this point, I'm not discounting it at all. Just give me your thoughts on the comparison of strength of schedules, conference, and getting to this regional final.
Well, you know, the PAC is one of the toughest 2A conferences in the, you know, perhaps in the state as far as, you know, perennial teams, teams that have gone on in the playoffs each year. Paoli's in a situation where they play a lot of 1A schools in the regular season. But that being said, they put up some points and they hold the other teams down and they dominate that league sometimes. You get into the tournament with Paoli, they have to go through sometimes Providence, which we all know Clarksville Providence down through the years has been very good. They've handled them on occasion. Triton Central, a team that they beat last week, it was kind of like Southridge's modern day. Triton Central and Paoli had been on a collision course down through the years, and they now beat them. But, you know, again, the PLAC to the PAC, there's not much debate there which is the strongest football conference. But I think at this stage of the season, it's how you're playing right now, what kind of experiences you have, what kind of players you have. And I know both teams have really good players, and I think it's going to come down again to, you know, who executes, and you could probably throw the strength of schedule out the window.
Well, I'm excited for the matchup. I, you know, knowing the Southridge program, knowing at least Coach Ballsmeyer a little bit, the fact his son's a quarterback for them. I love that little father-son matchup, and usually teams do pretty well when the coach is one of the main leaders on the team. So it's going to be an interesting matchup. I'm sure the weather's going to be good. The crowd will be rabid. Both teams are hungry. Are you going to have enough voice to get through this game?
Well, I lost it last weekend. It was a struggle between the cold air and a lot of exciting football. By Saturday, I was done for the rest of the weekend and the early part of this week. But you know what? That's what enthusiasm does, and I'm not going to apologize for that. So Scott Sowell and I will be ready tonight. Hopefully, it'll be a good matchup up there at Cook Field. I think it's going to come down to the line of scrimmages. Both teams have good line of scrimmages. You mentioned Brett Ballsmeyer at quarterback, and they only down through the years, they've run the ball, you know, Brian being around Jasper's program. But Ballsmeyer has thrown for over 1,800 yards, 28 touchdowns out of a kind of a wing running formation. They've got a good receiver, 6'5", Tanner Robleski, who they throw it up to him on the goal line, and he tries to out-jump them. But, you know, Southridge kind of meshes well with that. They've got athletes in the defensive secondary. They've got a great athlete in Cody Thompson that might be matched up against Robleski out there. Raiders got good, strong linebackers in Aiden Mitchell and Brett Nordoff that come flying to the football. Of course, Southridge's offense with Stetter and Connor Craig and Alex Holder. And, Kenny, the guys up front last week and throughout the season have been great on offense for Southridge, too. So, again, I think it's going to be a line of scrimmage matchup. Who can push each other around? And the winner of that matchup will probably be the winner of the game tonight.
You know, we also have the Jasper Columbus East game tonight. That's going to be a big game to call for your Craig Schneider and Mike Blessinger to call. And you know, I kind of see this kind of as a modern day versus Southridge type thing. You know, you got the giant that the whole state thinks is going to dominate, and you know, hopefully Jasper can pull off something similar to what Southridge did last week.
Well, I think they have a good opportunity because you look at the way Jasper's been playing defensively, Joe. You've seen a lot of them, Coach. You've seen them play as well. The last few weeks, defensively, they held down Central's running game, which Columbus East likes to hang their hat on. They handled Rice's running game. Cats made a few adjustments in their defensive lineup to make them better against the run that they needed to the last couple of weeks. So, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility, and I always use this whenever local teams in any sport get going. I'll put our coaches, I'll put our kids and the way they approach things in this county up against these teams that are supposed to, you know, be a lot better than them or on paper that are better than them. I just like the way our coaches, our teams go about things, and it would not surprise me to see Jasper beat Columbus East. But on the flip side, you know, Columbus East is awfully good, and the Wildcats will have to play their best game of the season to win.
Yeah, it's definitely going to take a great effort. The thing I don't think most people realize about Jasper this year, though, is they always think of 4 yards in a cloud of dust. And with Nolan Aarons and his arsenal of receivers, you know, that's changed that quite a bit and made it more balanced.
Well, I think so, and that's the thing. They're going to have to gauge the game and how it's going to use and take advantage of some of their mismatches in the passing game. You know, if Columbus East is loading the box 9-10 at a time and Jasper, you know, can exploit those good receivers and Austin Allis and Nolan Aarons, and then they can do some damage to Columbus East. But if they're going to run it up in there against that 8-9-man front, that's where a team like Columbus East can have an advantage. So I think the Cats and the offense and the way they go about things will be key tonight and how they adjust on the fly as the game goes.
Kurt, when you look at this Columbus East team, and I know we don't see a lot of the Columbus East down here. One of our contributors, Bill Somm, knows them a little bit, and he'll be on the show a little bit later. This is a team that has focused on running the ball both from the back, quarterback and running back. But that those numbers may be skewed a little bit. He's also thrown for over 1,000 yards. Just as Jasper has become a multi-dimensional offense, passing, running the ball if they need to, both ways, Jasper has to be prepared defensively to defend both parts of the game.
I think so. I think they did a great job against Central. They had a great running back, great offense as far as running the football, but they also had Fuchs who could throw the ball for 1,000 yards. And I think this Columbus East team is going to be just kind of a carbon copy of a Central, the team they played in the second round. And, you know, I give Columbus East a lot of credit. I mean, back a few years ago when they came to Jasper, even after that, you know, Dusty Q played at IU. Of course, Gunnar Keel was an All-American quarterback. They threw it around all over the place. They had, last time they came down to Jasper, they had Deweese Wilson, who was finishing up his senior season on the IU receiving core. They threw the ball a lot, but now they throw it 8 times a game. You know, they'll hit you with it every once in a while. But, you know, Bob Gattis, like all coaches that have been around in all the sports a long time, you kind of adjust to what you got and how your team is set up. And they're going to try to run the football against Jasper with, you know, that Markell Jones. He's rushed for over 2,000 yards or just shy of it. And that's something that Jasper's going to have to contend with. But if in high school football, if you're a strong team, if you play well against the run, you've got a chance to be in games because teams will throw around a lot. The defense, it's hard for any kind of high school defense to stop a really good passing attack. But most teams are geared to stop the run, and I think it plays right into Jasper if Columbus East wants to run against them and see how Jasper can play that, because I talked to Joe, when I was talking to Joe earlier, they made some adjustments. They've moved Scott Stallwood from the defensive backfield up to a kind of a roving like linebacker, moved him close to the line of scrimmage. They've moved Austin Allis from the outside of an end spot into a defensive tackle spot, Nick and Coach Jurger have, and that's made the difference against these running teams that they played the last few weeks.
Well, it's going to be a great night of football. Again, we've got Southridge at Paoli. We've got Jasper driving up to Columbus East. Columbus East, of course, has been in this game many times, and they know Jasper a little bit. Their head coach is a former coach at Wrights, and change didn't hurt him at all. Ever since he's been at Columbus East, they've had nothing but great season after great season, and their experience. So it should be a great night. Kirk, thanks for all your insight, input, and thanks for spending time with us again.
No problem. Just looking forward to it. I know everybody's excited in DuBois County about high school football tonight, like they get excited about all their kids' sports. So it should be a lot of fun, and looking forward to talking to you next week, hopefully with a double sweep for the Raiders and the Wildcats.
We hope the best for both of those teams. Great, great schools, great communities. And keep that voice written. Drink a little lemon juice today.
I think I'm going to need something a little bit harder than that to keep this voice going, right? That'll be
great.
That'll
go
be
break
after the game and a post-game celebration.
We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk some Pacers and some Colts, who they are in the first half, who they are in the second half. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Toyota in Jasper. You know what happens when you sell a bunch of new Toyotas? You trade for hundreds of great pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and sport utilities. Many are certified, have factory warranty remaining, fully inspected, and they're all priced to sell. Hurry in for the best selection. Ubelar & Sons Toyota, where customers send their friends for a great pre-owned vehicle since 1929.
Did you ever find Bugs Bunny attractive when he'd put on a dress and play a girl bunny?
No.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
We're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and I'm the coach, Ken Schulteis. And if you want to join the conversation or give us a comment, thought, or something you're not happy about, you can tweet us at Coach K and Joe, at Coach K and Joe on the Twitter. That's A-N-D and Joe. Or you can call us here at the show at 773-897-6325. A lot of good stuff in the first segment with Kurt Duxell. Big weekend of high school football in the state of Indiana. We'll be talking with Bill Somm about some more games coming up at the top of the hour. Real quickly, wanted to touch on, before we bring Bill on later in the at the top of the hour, wanted to talk a little bit about this Colts team. First of all, it's sending their fans into frenzy. It's a tale of two halves for the Colts. They can't seem to get anything going in the first half. They struggle offensively. They struggle defensively. But somehow the ship gets righted and they're able to pull it out. Well, at least the Texas game, Houston's game, Houston Texans, and then again last night against the Titans. Here's my concern, folks. And if you're a Colts fan, you don't like what I got to say, let us know. That's fine. Again, you can tweet me at Coach K and Joe on Twitter. This does not bode well to be a playoff team. You're not going to get the opportunities to make those kind of runs in the second half if you get to the playoffs. This is a Colts team that looks a little shaken. And I know everybody's, well, we came back and won. Vinatieri's hitting field goals. Folks, we should have lost it at Houston. Colts should have gotten beat at Houston. Let's face it, they should have lost the game. If it wasn't for the typical Houston fall apart at the end of the game, which happens a lot against the Colts, if you look back at the history of the matchups between the Colts and the Houston Texans. But Houston does it a lot. That would be a loss. Very fortunate in their Denver game to hold on at the end. Last night's game against Tennessee, and folks, Tennessee is not a great football team. Come on. Tennessee is not a great football team. Now, I hope I'm wrong. I hope Andrew Luck and Coach Lugano and the rest of this team goes on and rights the ship and gets the Super Bowl. But right now, when I look at this Colts team as a coach, it doesn't matter what level you've been on. When you look at your team, you say something is amiss. Something's missing. Something's not right. Is it the loss of a wide receiver? That doesn't help. Losing Reggie Wayne doesn't help. But that shouldn't be the problems that they're having. But it is. I mean, they got problems. And hopefully they can get it figured out. You know, you know, as a coach, you can say, well, we won the game, but coaches don't do that. Coaches look at the overall play of their team from the start to the finish. And they don't just say, well, we won the game. That's what fans do. Fans say we won the game. But coaches don't do that. Coaches look at the overall play from A to Z, 1 to 100, and they look to see how this team is playing, the possessions or the downs, both sides of the ball in football, same way in basketball. What are we doing defensively? What are we doing offensively? How consistent are we? That's going to be the key. That's going to be the key. Now, the good thing is there aren't any good teams in the conference, in the division, excuse me. So the Colts, they have time to right the ship and figure it out. But this is not a good Colts team right now. This is a team that looks far different from 4 weeks ago, or does it? Or does it? This is a team that looks far different from 4 weeks ago, or does it? Maybe we had a Colts team that had some success early that maybe we were a little lucky. Other teams weren't playing well. But either way, from a fan, you're going to say, Coach K, shut up. We won. We won the game. You're right. But I got to look at it from a coach. And right now, that Colts coaching staff is sitting down saying, what's going on? Where's the disconnect? Why aren't we ready to play or getting the plays done in the first half? What's our struggle? Because I'm telling you, you're not going to get this in the playoffs. If you don't come to play, especially a team that can't afford a lot of mistakes, and let's face it, we have a good team in Indianapolis, but not a great team. On the other side of Indianapolis, or the other side of the downtown, you've got the Pacers, undefeated, putting on a show, a team that is made up of pieces that come together to form a really good team and nobody that really you call superstar status. Now, you know, George is pretty good. He's pretty good, but he hasn't gotten that label yet. Hibbert's this big, wide body in the middle, does a great job defensively. I know Miami would love to have him or not see the Pacers have him. I think Frank Vogel has done a great job, and I know we're trying to get Coach Vogel on the show. I want to talk hoop with the guy. Since he's come in, he righted the ship. And I'm going to tell you what we talked about a couple – when we first started the show. When we first started the show, we talked about the difference in Frank Vogel and the prior coach. the prior coach spent a lot of time playing guys based on statistics. I got news for you. Coaches in the game of basketball, because of the way the game is played, you don't play the stats like you play them in baseball. Well, this guy doesn't hit this guy. This guy hits this left-hander better. That's not how you go with the flow. If somebody's playing well, you play them. Sometimes you got guys that are great in practice, and they just don't seem to get it done on the floor in a game. Sometimes you have guys that do a great job starting, don't do a good job coming off the bench, and vice versa. I mean, I've had situations in my own coaching career where I had to pull the guy aside and say, I know you're starting material, but you can't start for us. You play better off the bench. And that's what Vogel has done. He looks at this team. He puts the pieces together. These guys are playing well together. This guy's playing well. This guy's getting it done. And he doesn't substitute or play guys based on his stats in this situation. He plays guys that the momentum's there. The team prospers with him. I love it. Plus, he's a smart basketball coach, and he has them playing great, great defense. We got to talk some Indianapolis high school football tournament time. Great teams up there, great players. We're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking with our Indianapolis football guy, our NCAA contributor, Billy Somm. Love when he gets on the show. You're listening, and you better keep listening, or you'll miss something, to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Right now, Ubelar's has a huge selection of awesome pre-owned vehicles, cars, trucks, vans, sport utilities, in most all price categories, and they're all priced to sell. Some are certified, and some have special low APRs, but best of all, they are all priced to sell. Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends for great pre-owned vehicles since 1929.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? Well, team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
Pardon me, do you have any gray poupon?
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and to our listeners out there, if you're listening from your office, that's okay. Your bosses won't care because productivity has been proven to go up after listening with the Coach K and Joe Show, all the energy, enthusiasm, focus, and purpose that you get. So keep listening. And I know Beth is out there listening at Edward Jones' office with my wife, Janet. Again, if you've got money and you want to make money, give Janet Schulteis a call with Edward Jones. We are back on the show with Bill Somm. Bill, we got to make sure our listeners understand that there are semi-states as well as regionals. But before we do this, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Tell me about the weather in Indy. Is it good football weather?
It's good football weather, Coach. No dampness. It's probably going to be at game time about 40, 41 degrees. We might get a little sunshine this afternoon, Cathedral actually plays on grass tonight, which is a little bit odd, but the playing surface will be good there because it hasn't rained in a couple of days, and of course, rest of these games, most of them are on turf. But it's a great night for football. Shouldn't be much wind, and I think it'll be good level playing field for everybody.
Well, hopefully, the teams that take the field tonight, especially your Cathedral guys, hopefully they'll start a little bit better than the Colts have been starting. But we won't go there. We're going to focus in on high school football. But in 6A, so our listeners understand, even though it's regional in most of the state, 6A has semi-state contests going on.
That's exactly right. It's a change again because we've grown just to the six classes, and there are only 16 teams. So we're down to four teams. They get a bye next week, which actually will, I think, probably help that state championship game because it'll give those coaches time to scheme. It'll give the athletes time to get healthy. But we're down to two football games, and I think what you could, your listeners could call this, is the Metropolitan Intercollegiate Conference playoff system for the it's a, you know, we have three MIT teams in there, in Carmel, Center Grove, and Warren Central. So it's pretty interesting. We have Penn at Carmel, and that is a 7:30 start. I think that's important to emphasize if anybody's thinking about going to that game, because the rest of the games across the state start at 7. But Penn is at Carmel. Penn's 12-0. Carmel's 9-3. But at the end of the day, I think you're probably going to see Carmel be able to grind that out. They have a really good running game. They do have the great Austin Roberts kid, a wide receiver slash tight end. But I think you're going to see Carmel grind that out. Penn has a very good quarterback. He's a Central Michigan recruit, a kid named Zach Oakley. So that's going to be an interesting game. You then have Center Grove at Warren Central. Center Grove is the number one team in the state. Of every school, they have the highest Sagarin ratings. Carmel actually has the second highest, by the way. But Center Grove is playing at Warren Central. Center Grove is 11-1. Warren Central is 9-3. I suspect you're going to see an all-MIC state final. I suspect you're probably going to see Carmel playing Center Grove.
And you talked about this Center Grove team all year long, Bill, how strong they were. And you called it in the last game. You said, even though I think they were playing Southport, even though Southport had the good year, Center Grove was just too much for them.
Yeah, you know, Southport, they're a good young team. They have a great sophomore quarterback. I think they'll be back for more in the future. But Center Grove is just so big on the offensive and defensive line. They're very quick. They're tough kids. They've been through a lot of wars. They play a very difficult schedule. They have the eighth toughest schedule in the entire state. I really think you're going to see Center Grove be very successful this evening. Warren Central deserves a lot of credit. They started the season out struggling. You know, they took their coach from Warren Central. And it was a late appointment, but Warren has really come on strong. They deserve a lot of credit, but I think it's going to be too much for Warren Central tonight versus Center Grove.
Bill, I want to ask you about this Penn program. You know, Penn for years, when you talked about the class of football, Penn was always right up there with the Hobart and those kind of schools. In my recollection, they seem to drift away for a little bit. What's gone on at Penn? Is it a turnaround, or it's just been so many other good teams rising up in the state of Indiana? Tell me a little bit of what you know about Penn.
Well, you know, Penn was the last time they were in the state championship game was in 2011, and they played Carmel, and a guy like Carmel beat them 54-0. Now, Carmel is not as good this year as they were in 2011, so I suspect the score isn't going to be quite like that. I think everything, and you know this, everything in high school athletics is cyclical. Penn is a very, very traditionally strong program. They've been very strong in the north. But I think, frankly, just the MIC, the Metropolitan Interclassic Conference has just taken all the publicity the last couple of years because they are so strong. I mean, every one of their teams was successful in the playoffs, and they just beat each other up. Five of the MIC teams were sent home by their own conference programs in the playoffs. So I think Penn is, you know, Penn's 12-0. You hate to make some of these comments, but you know Penn doesn't play the schedule. Their schedule ranked coach is 54th in the state, and that's very difficult to prepare for a team like Center Grove, Carmel, Warren Central, and all those teams. It's very difficult to prepare for those teams when you're playing the 54th toughest schedule in the state. So I think it's scheduling. I think it's who they play. I think it's cyclical, and I think the MIC is just the best Dagburn conference in the state.
Okay, so the way we're going to leave it today on a Coach K and Joe show, in 6A, we're looking for Carmel and Center Grove to play for that championship. And Bill, I will, before we move on to 5A, I will say that I do like that two-week hiatus to get your team ready, get them refocused. I know it could go the other way, maybe too much time on the kids' hands, but in football it seems like a great way to be healthy and be at your best going in. All right, Class 5A regionals. Now, we're not talking semi-states, folks. We're talking regionals. Tell us a little bit about the Indianapolis area, what we can expect.
Well, with the regionals, we still have 8 football teams left in 5A. We have Cathedral, who's 7-5, at Whiteland, who's 9-2. And the rest of these games, Coach, are all starting at 7 o'clock. I mentioned at the top of the show that Whiteland has a grass field. That'll be the first time that Cathedral plays on grass this year. Shouldn't make any difference unless it just messes with the kids' heads a little bit, but it shouldn't. They ought to be able to handle that just fine. I think, again, Whiteland is a nice football team. They have had a successful season, but, you know, they play the 42nd toughest schedule in the state. Cathedral's is the 10th toughest, and that doesn't even include the Mullers, the Xaviers, and the Trinities from out of state. Cathedral's the number one team in 5A in the Sagarin ratings at 89, and Whiteland's got a 74. I think if all things stay the same, you'll see Cathedral go. You know, they have quite possibly Mr. Football and Terry McLaren, and when you have a talent like that, it just changes the outcome of the game. It changes the play calling in the game. It changes the kicking game. So that should be a very interesting game. But I think will prevail. You also have Westfield at 10-1 playing at Fort Wayne Snyder at 9-2. That's going to be a good football game. Westfield is attempting to win its first regional since 1993. They're very, very excited in Westfield because of the season that they've had so far. I think they're hoping that they can get all the way to Lucas. But Fort Wayne Snyder's, they've been there. They've won the sectional multiple times in a row. And I think that's a toss-up game. Westfield does have a great wide receiver who's committed to Ball State. So I think at the end of the day, you're going to see Westfield. They're the second-ranked team in 5A. I think that you're probably going to see them prevail over Snyder. You then have Bloomington North at Terre Haute North. Terre Haute North is 9-2, and Bloomington North is 7-4. Terre Haute North is, I think, a team that every other program in Class 5A should be concerned about. They're very big up front. They have the 39th toughest schedule in the state. They're the third-ranked team, Sagarin-wise, at an 83. So my gut tells me that Terre Haute North will prevail there, but Bloomington North is 7-4 at Terre Haute. That's the Indianapolis area with the Class 5A regionals.
Let me jump in here real quick and talk about one of the 4A regionals, because you can give us a little more insight down in this part of the state. Got a matchup between Jasper, of course, my hometown, place I coached at, and Columbus East. Columbus East, 12-0, has been on this stage many times in recent years. Jasper finally breaks through for the first time since 2008. What can our listeners in this part of the state expect from this Columbus East team?
Well, I think with Columbus East, it is all about their tailback. He's a good one. There are some folks, and I guess we'll have to see after the completion of the tournament, but some folks have actually said that for a team like Cathedral, it's better off they're in 5A than 4A because there's some dagburn good teams. Columbus East is all about the tailback. He's a Division I type of kid. He's now a junior. He was very, very good last year, but you could tell he was a pup. If I was Jasper, you got to stop the tailback. Columbus East is always big up front. As I'll say the same thing this year as I did last year. They're a tad slow up front, but they're big as houses. I think it should be a good football game because, honestly, Columbus East hasn't played a lot of people. That's one of their challenges as they go through their schedule, that they're not always well prepared from the standpoint of great competition. But Jasper and Columbus East, I would think it's probably close to a toss-up game, other than the fact that you have to neutralize the tailback.
And then Chittard and New Palestine. New Palestine, another undefeated team, playing for a regional championship. And I bring up Chittard because Chittard just has a great football tradition. We both know that. And they've been there before. They're usually there. They play a good, solid schedule. So if you see them at 9-3, you can't take a whole lot out of that. How do you see the new pal, Chittard, stack up?
Well, that's a good observation in regards to Chittard. You know, they lost three games, but they lost those three games by a total of 14 points. And, you know, Rebuff beat them in the first game of the season. And while that was just an unbelievably great win for Rebuff, I mean, I think even Coach Ressler would tell you that they were very, very fortunate in winning that because there was some, you know, some mistakes, some mistakes that usually don't occur by a team like Chittard that they did in the last couple seconds of that game. So they've lost three games by four, by 14 points. Chittard and New Pal is just going to be a great, great football game. Having said that, and I really believe it's about your schedule during the year, Chittard's got the 21st toughest schedule in the state, and New Pal has the 116th. So Chittard has been there, as you said, but New Pal has got it rolling in regards to, you know, confidence, and they're healthy. I think, again, it's a toss-up game. I think Chittard will probably win, but it could be a 1 or 2 or 3 point game. It's going to be very difficult. Chittard's won 21 straight playoff games, by the way.
Wow. And you know, the thing about Chittard, I really think that their schedule does, it makes a big difference. It just really does. And I think that people aren't ready for the physical nature and maybe some of the speed that some of those teams bring in because they played against the better teams, and their record always doesn't indicate it. Another team in there that I'd like to ask you about, they match up with Jimtown Andrean, 12-0. Is this a good, legitimate Andrean team?
I think it is. I think it is. You know, they're 12-0. Their schedule is the same as some of the others we've been quoting. You know, they're 138th toughest in the strength of schedule. They haven't played a lot of people, but you know, Coach, you know, as long if you're undefeated, you beat people sometimes when you weren't supposed to. You've made some things happen when you weren't supposed to, and you've persevered to be an undefeated team. You've kept your attitude together, you kept your conditioning together, and your discipline. So I think they're the real deal. At the end of the day, I don't know that they have enough one-on-one talent because, you know, in that 3A, you have Rebuff Jesuit, who no one really picked to be here, but I'm going to tell you, they got that Division I tailback. And when you have a Division I kid at a specialty position, it's going to be very difficult to be ultimately successful. But I think I think that's going to be a good football game between Jimtown and Adrian and Andrean, and I think they're going to be successful, though, tonight.
Do you think Rebuff Jesuit is a team that could end up playing for a state championship in 3A?
I absolutely do. You know, they played Darien tonight, who's 5-7, but the interesting thing is that Gary entered this tournament with a losing record. They only won two football games the whole year. Now, to give them a little bit more credit, they were just injuries all over the place, so it was very difficult for them. But I think you're going to see, you know, Gary's got a 63 Sagarin rating, and Bubuff's got an 81. I think you're going to see Bubuff. I think you're going to see Rebuff roll, quite frankly, in that football game. And I think you're going to see Rebuff in the state championship in Mick Ressler's first year as head football coach.
It's got to be exciting for him and his staff and his team. Jumping real quickly to 2A regionals, Bill, Ritter, I'm just looking at games that jump out at me.
Yeah.
I talked earlier in the show with Kurt Guxell, our contributor down here. It does the Southridge Raiders. They got Paoli and Southridge, but one of the other games that jumps out to me, and I know it does to you, is Ritter 10-2 at Cecina 10-2.
Well, I'll tell you, Coach, if any of your fans just love high school football, this is probably the game that I would go to in the entire state because they are just so evenly matched. They are, you know, they're two small Catholic school rivals. They're incredibly both well-coached. You have a great quarterback at Ritter. You just have a good team at Cecina. The first game, they played once already in the middle of October, and the score, Ritter won 21-14. I suspect at the end of the day, Ritter will prevail, but this is just going to be a knockdown dragout. I think the difference maker will be Ritter's quarterback. Both teams are 10-2, as you mentioned. Both teams, you know, Ritter's number one, Cecina's number two. If you're just looking for a good high school football game, this is the one I would pick tonight.
Bill, it's been a long season. You've watched Cathedral. Of course, your son Zach is a key player on that team. And you look at Cathedral, 7-5. They played a I don't want to call it a national schedule, but as close as you can play as far as state in teams in the state of Indiana. They played certainly a regional schedule. When you look at the development of Cathedral, because a lot of people said, and you even said, this is not as good a Cathedral team as has been in the last few years. Just from your standpoint as a father and as a fan, how has Cathedral benefited from that type of a schedule?
Well, I think it does a couple things. From a father's standpoint, I look at it more 5 or 10 or 15 years from now. These young men on this squad were not a team that should have probably thought they could be playing the Trinity, the X, and the Molar. They were competitive in all three games. I would love to play them all again here at the end of the season because we've improved so drastically. I support the difficult schedule for the number one reason. It's so painful as you go through the season when if you do lose. You know, we beat Mola 2 or 3 years straight, and we've only beat X once, and Trinity were 0-2 over the last couple years. But the number one reason I play him is because the way the playoffs are set up in the state of Indiana, you know, everybody makes the playoffs. The game, honest to goodness, actually slows down for our kids when we get into the playoffs. You know, for example, in the Decatur Central game, they have a very, very good quarterback. Kids going to Iowa being recruited as an athlete, but in all due respect, that kid's nowhere near the quarterback that was at Trinity. So I support the difficult schedule. It's a great travel schedule for the kids. I actually wish that the state of Indiana would let us go outside to 300 miles because we still had an opportunity to play in Ireland a year ago before Notre Dame game. And I think that would just be a great educational experience for any kid at any high school in the state of Indiana. But I support that schedule. The game will slow down in the playoffs. There's great confidence exhibited by those Cathedral kids. It's not you're 100% right. It's not even one of the top 5, 6, or 7 Cathedral teams historically. This will be if Cathedral prevails, if they get into the state championship game, it'll be Rick Stripes' best coaching job in his 24 plus years.
Well, we want to wish good luck to all the teams that are playing. Fans, get out there and watch these guys play. I know that basketball season is opening up in the state of Indiana. Girls, of course, are playing games now, and the boys are starting. We've got college basketball going. There's a lot you can stay home and watch on TV. I understand that. But there's nothing like the experience of being out there and watching the team that your kids go to school at or have gone, where you've gone, your hometown team, and taking your young daughters and sons to be a part of something that's still pretty pure, and that's high school athletics, especially in the state of Indiana. Bill, before I let you go, I cannot let you go without bringing up Ohio State. Urban Meyer has a chance to run the table again, and for the second year in a row, Ohio State may not be playing for a national title game.
Yeah, you know, Urban hasn't lost a game yet since signing that contract at Ohio State. I mean, that's quite the story. You know, there's a couple weeks to go through the entire thing. It'll all even out. I don't know that I can say that I think Ohio. Well, first of all, I know Ohio State's not the number one team in the nation. Are they the number two team? Golly, who knows? It'll all fall out the way it ought to. But they need to win big, you know. And for your listeners, they know how IU Purdue goes. You know, hey, who knows how Ohio State Michigan is going to go? I read a crazy article yesterday. You know, I think one of the better coaches in the nation is Brady Hoke, and you know they're on a little bit of a losing streak, and now they're saying his job's in jeopardy, and that's just the craziest darn thing ever. Michigan could pop up and beat Ohio State. Hey, as an aside, though, in regards to the purity of athletics, pretty cool thing the other day. Ball State played at Northern Illinois, you know, a really big game for both of those MAC programs. Brady Hoke, who coached at Ball State, donated $5,000 and paid for a couple buses of 240 Ball State students to be able to go up to DeKalb, Illinois. So there's still some good guys left in that big-time football thing, and Brady Hoke's one of them.
Absolutely. I wish we had a little more time. We talk a little bit about the Florida State quarterback situation, but we don't. Bill, thanks for being with us. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Scott Buning, the head coach of the Southridge Raiders, who had one of the great upsets, at least outside of DuBois County, beating Mater Dei, and they'll be playing for a regional. Joe will have that discussion live. When we come back, you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams. Natural-looking fillings. Crowns. Bridges and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care. Creating beautiful smiles.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion in Jasper. We've all heard the commercial, 15 minutes could save you 15. Folks, let me tell you, it won't take 15 minutes for us to save you money. Give Ubelar's a call at 1-800-937-USA1 or visit us online at ubelar.com. We'll tell you the facts, treat you right, no bait and switch, and best of all, we will save you money. Ubelar Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion in Jasper, where customers send their friends for a lifetime of savings in 15 minutes or less since 1929.
Shoo! That monkeys might fly out of my butt.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and we're joined by Southridge Raider head football coach Scott Buning. Scott, a big win last week. We'd like to discuss a little bit before the Paoli game. You know, the whole community really, really, really got behind the team. And the great thing was, though, I was at the Jasper game, and when the Southridge score came up, the Jasper crowd exploded. You'd have thought it was full of Raider fans.
You know, it's been neat, really, since our season's been over, both in regards to Coach Aarons and his staff, and then also our conference. And, you know, everybody's been very willing to help everybody out. I think everybody gets excited for everybody. I know we were real excited that Jasper was able to beat Wright. And, you know, I guess it was kind of fun. You know, we have the Evansville schools up here and against the DuBois County schools, and it was certainly nice for both of us to come out on top.
Yeah, I talked to Scott Thompson, and he told me that there was a similar response at Southridge, but he said also the modern day people were pretty excited that that Wright's went down to defeat as well.
Yeah, I guess so. They don't have quite the support for each other, being I guess they're maybe even a little closer than us and Jasper down there.
Now, Coach, you know, I was a part of the Southridge Raider program for a while there with Coach Hanner and Coach Winkler and the gang. And, you know, you still have quite a bit of that staff still there. And, you know, as people say, you're only as strong as the whole. And you've got one heck of a coaching staff.
Oh, without a doubt. I think, you know, I think anytime you look at successful programs, you see continuity amongst the coaching staff. And really in high school, it's not so much even – well, the continuity is important, but also the fact that really almost all these guys are Southridge Raider guys, and they grew up here. They're very passionate about not just football here, but the school and the community, and they have sons who are coming or have come through the program. And, you know, it's just it's a great thing for us, and certainly they do a great job coaching on the field and getting our guys ready. But, you know, I think the most exciting part of, I mean, they bleed Raider blood here, and they're so passionate about it, and then that filters down through our kids and down through. So that's certainly a huge part of why, especially talk about the sustained success Southridge has had, you know, for quite a while here. They're a huge reason why.
Coach, this is Coach K. I was going to let Joe handle this whole interview, and I just couldn't. I had to jump in. Because I wanted to ask you a couple questions, but I also want to congratulate you on a great win. And I know we're moving on to Paoli, but it was a great win because everybody outside of Du Bois County just looked and said, that's a modern-day win. Just want to ask you, when you looked at this game, this modern-day game, they've come in several years in a row. Southridge can't get over the hump. You've had some close games in the tournament going into this game, in the playoffs going into this game. How did you talk to your kids? How did your staff work with these kids to say, we're not going to hit this same wall again, we're going to go through this wall this time?
Well, I think that's a great question. Great question, and you know, and I think that's something as coaches, we, you know, every week you've got a theme, and you've got something, things you think you need that you think are strengths, advantages, and then things you need to overcome. And you know, it was no secret that our seniors have been knocked out by modern day the last 3 years, and you know, maybe a little advantage was that I didn't experience any of them, and. You know, and we just went and took a look at last year's game and really looked at, you know, okay, it's not modern day. Let's look at this as a football game. And, you know, we had 3 turnovers inside the 10-yard line. We did some things where, you know, we just really hurt ourselves. And so our focus wasn't really so much on modern day as it was about the Southridge Raiders and what we needed to do and how we needed to play. And really that, looking at that, you know, in the summer – was really what's kind of been the drive behind our theme throughout the season, which is, you know, let's worry about us. Let's be as good as we can be and play as well as we can play. And really, you know, one of the key reasons for our success, I think, or some of the successes we've had, we've just protected the football. And, you know, we've not turned the football over very much at all. I think we've only lost 4 fumbles and had 4 interceptions. And, you know, I think we lost 4 fumbles in the modern day game alone last year. And so we've just tried to focus on the little things of, you know, what we need to do, how we need to do it. You know, and really I think our conference really helped us because we've had to play some tight, close games, and we've really had to compete and play hard. And the first couple weeks in the tournament, you know, the first game comes down to a 2-point play. And then the second game, you know, it's tied up with just a couple minutes to go. And we've had to grind and we've had to hold together as a team and as a unit and, you know, handle a lot of that adversity as it came. And really all the credit to me in regards to last week goes to our seniors. They were very focused, very driven. You know, we have tons of respect for modern day and what they do and what they've done and how they do it. But on the other hand, you know, when the gold helmets came into Raider Field, that wasn't a hindrance to our guys. We didn't get caught up in a lot of that hoopla and things. And I think we've got a very mature team, and that really allowed us to handle, you know, kind of the outside parts of this and allowed us to just focus and play football.
You know, Coach, I know this isn't about you. I know this is about Southridge Raider football. And I know it's everything together. And you said it best. You said, I took 2 things from all, you said a lot of great things, but 2 things stand out from what you just said. You said, one of the ingredients was I hadn't been there before. You hadn't been a part of those losses. You brought something fresh, something new into the ingredients. And the second thing is the maturity of your leadership of your football team. You know, Stetter and Craig are the guys that we hear a lot about. But it's going to take more than that. It takes guys up front on the line. It takes guys, you know, the guys that are in the trenches, the battle of attrition, staying focused, mentally tough, saying, I'm not going to give an inch. I saw some of that in your team when you played Jasper and made one heck of a comeback and just as well could have won the game as lost it. But I wanted to say that, do you feel, and I know how you're going to answer this, but I want to say it anyway, you put your stamp on this team. You had all the returning players, you have returning coaches, you take over for an excellent coach, but you kind of put your stamp on this team through these playoffs with a sectional title.
Well, I tell you, and you said a couple of really key things there, too. You know, the foundation of this program was so healthy with Coach Murphy and the foundation he laid, not just in regards to football, but in regards to temperament and how you go about your business and how you operate, things like that. And, you know, and I understand that I walked in, and I appreciate that I walked into a very good situation because we had quite a few starters returning from the year before, and you know, we really didn't make a lot of we haven't really changed scheme. Coach Ohanian's still the offensive coordinator and still runs the same offense they've run for years, and the same with Coach Winkler and everything else. You know, I took my job as kind of a little bit of a facilitator and one to, you know, we did a few minor changes in regards to our weight room and how we went about our summer conditioning and things like that. And that is something that our kids have really bought into. And you know, you look to a man, I mean, we were completely undersized with modern day. And, you know, our kids just, they fought, they scrapped, they clawed for every inch that we were able to get. And, you know, and that's, again, a testament to those guys and just how, you know, we are proud to call ourselves a blue-collar foot team because we believe that's what we are. We're not one of those, you know, just insanely talented team that's just got Division I players all over the place. But what we do have are some really tough, hard-nosed kids who believe in each other. And I mean, most of these guys have never been around a group that is as much of friends as this group is. I mean, they, after games, they all go to one house and they spend tons and tons and tons of time together. And we don't get through, we don't get through week one without that in the tournament. And, you know, those are the things. And it extends through our coaching staff, our players, our moms. We have this group of crazy moms. They've just kind of earned the title here of things they've been doing, but it's a community. It's our culture. And, you know, I've got two little ones, a third grader and a kindergarten. And when we looked at, you know, we don't want to be one of those families moves all over the place and, you know, goes place to place. We wanted to find a home and we wanted to settle in a place, and you know, the culture here is amazing, and you know, how people in Huntingburg go about their business and the school and the administration. I mean, it's as much of a team as any place in a family as I've ever been, and that's where all of this originates from, you know. And it takes a little bit of everybody doing their job and playing that role, and you know, everybody's just been incredible with it.
Now, Coach, you know, you've had a high-powered offense all year, 61 points, 54 points. It looks like 21 points is the least you've scored in a game this year. And, you know, we hear all about Connor Craig. He's a phenomenal running back, a great all-around player. And, you know, Luke Stetter, Mitch's brother. I'm sure he gets called Mitch's brother more than once. you know, another great athlete. Can you tell us a little bit about the rest of your personnel on your offensive side of the ball?
Well, it really, you know, and really this offense, you know, it really revolves around the fullback. And we've got two and a half that have really done a great job in that position. Aiden Mitchell he's done a great job along with Jake and Mundy and William Gutzel. And, you know, if with this offense, if you can't get your fullback going, you know, it really can make life tough. And so, you know, those three have really done an excellent job. They're tough, hard-nosed kids. They run really hard. And that sets up the rest of our offense. And then, you know, our offensive line, you know, it's really, I think your offensive line is always anchored by your center, and you got to have a guy who's calm, cool, collected. He's the only one guaranteed touch football on virtually every snap of the game. And Logan Solomon has done just a tremendous job with that. Plus, we leave him on an island a lot, and he's got to control and own those A gaps, and he's done a great job with that. Our guards, we've got kind of a three-headed monster there with Alex Merkel, Andy Fisher, and Bryce Harder. Just tough, tough, hard-nosed kids. You know, usually they're undersized, aside from Alex. Alex is a pretty big, strong kid. But we've been able to get them out in space and use our athleticism up front. We thought that was a key against modern day, and we were able to get to the edges and use our athleticism. And then Ethan Sweppy and Javi Canales at tackles. Ethan's just he is the typical farm kid. he's fighting cattle every day. So, you know, blocking on the offensive line isn't always a challenge it's always a challenge, but maybe not as tough as fighting those cattle. And then Javi is, he's undersized for a tackle, but he just gets underneath people. And they all just as a whole, they play so well. You know, I think week in, week out, you know, we may not have the best position per position, but we play so well as a team. We play so well as a unit. Everybody works cohesively together. And when you put all those things combined with those guys, you know, we've really been able to create some success offensively. And Luke, makes a big difference in that regard with that little extra option of throwing the football. And, when you can add that element to it, it can be pretty tough to defend.
Now, defensively, you know, you've got a pretty staunch defense as well. You went through a period 3 weeks of the season where you only gave up 7 points. And tell us just a little bit about that side of the ball real quick.
Yeah, we've got an awfully experienced defensive group back. It's led by our linebacking core. We play typically a 4-4 defense, and our four linebackers, three seniors, Aiden Mitchell, Bo Schneider, and Jacob Mundy they're both 2-year starters, and then Brett Nordoff, who's a junior, he's an inside linebacker, and he's a 2-year starter as well. Played full time as a sophomore, and those four, they're gym rats. They love the game of football. They study the game of football. Very intelligent kids, and they're getting our guys in the right spot. They have really, we've gone as they've gone, which has typically been pretty good. Our secondary, we rotate a lot of guys. We found out just how important Alex Householder is to us. He's a free safety, and he's also our second leading rusher as a wingback. And he's a tremendous blocker offensively. He runs the ball well. He's got great hands. And we moved him back into the secondary. He played last year quite a bit. We were trying to limit his snaps this year some. And he's a force from the free safety position. When he's in there and when he's not, the difference is noticeable. And Cody Thompson and Justin King and Connor Craig play the corner positions. And Guadalupe Perez has also played a whole lot, especially here in the tournament, in the secondary, and has done a really nice job. And then our defensive line, which is probably our biggest question mark coming into the year, has turned out really the strength of ours, and it's really anchored by Ethan Sweppy and Alex Merkel. But we got a lot of guys. Luke Siddons has had a tremendous year up front, along with Jeremiah Mundy and Alex Fisher or Andy Fisher has had really good seasons up there as well. So, and we're going to need all those guys, tonight. Everybody's going to get challenged tonight with Paoli and their style, so we're going to get quite a test coming up.
Now, getting to Paoli, a little order of business here for tonight for the Raiders. Traveling to Paoli to take on Coach Brian Balzmeier's Paoli Rams. Give us a little breakdown on what you're expecting to see from the Paoli Rams tonight.
Well, Paoli they sit 10-2 just as we do. They've really upped their schedule here, their non-conference schedule specifically. They were beaten by Evansville Central in a game earlier this year, which is a 4A, 5A school out of the city, obviously. And they in a game they competed well in. They're a midline beer option team, much like Air Force and Navy. And, you know, for us, we don't see that. Nobody around here runs it. It's not something we see, which is part of the reason why we run the offense we run, because most teams we play don't see it either. And it's pretty tough to mirror and practice with a scout team and getting your guys to play that assignment football with all the spread football that a lot of the other teams are running. And they've got a little added bonus this year. In the past, they've pretty much just been a downhill option football team. But this year, Coach Ballsmeyer's son is the quarterback, and he's thrown for, I think, 1,800 yards, give or take, and 28 touchdowns. And they have a receiver, Wobuleski is his name, and he's 6'5", 200 pounds. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of coaches in the area who have all said he's the best player on their schedule. And, you know, physically he's a tough matchup for us. And he's got somewhere around 1,300 yards receiving. So when you add that pass game in with the assignment-oriented option game they run, and then Coach Ballsmeyer's always been known for having tough physical football teams, you put all those things together, it'll be quite a challenge tonight for us.
Now, Coach, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today. And, you know, Coach K and Joe Show, we wish you guys nothing but luck tonight in the game. And we look forward to talking to you next week as a regional champion, and Highland will be previewing the semi-state.
Well, we look forward to that, too, and good luck to Jasper as well tonight.
Okay. Thanks, Coach, and we will talk to you next week. And you've been listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Toyota in Jasper. You know what happens when you sell a bunch of new Toyotas? You trade for hundreds of great pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and sport utilities. Many are certified, have factory warranty remaining, fully inspected, and they're all priced to sell. Hurry in for the best selection. Ubelar & Sons Toyota, where customers send their friends for a great pre-owned vehicle since 1929.
Hello, God.
Oh, my God, it's Madonna! I'm not worthy! I'm not worthy!
Garth, chill! Come on, take your Ritalin, okay? Garth, we're in Madonna's bedroom.
Whoa!
We're not worthy! We're not worthy!
Okay, shut up. You're both worthy.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
It's not the U.S. Postal mailbag. It's not the Joe mailbag. It's the Coach K mailbag.
New York and New Jersey love Coach K. Go Hoosiers! Coach K speaks the truth! Woo!
Now, here's Coach K and Joe with this week's Coach K's mailbag.
And we're back to the Coach K and Joe Show for the Coach K mailbag. Coach, are you ready for the questions I have?
I am ready. Let me first say that we appreciate Coach Buning taking the time to be with us on the show. Yeah, I mean, he's got a big game tonight. It's big for the program. It's big for the community. And to take the time to be with us, we really appreciate that.
Yep. Well, first question. And guess who it's from? Take a guess.
I don't know,
Tony.
Idea?
John Botsmagic Bodorf.
Coach K. I should have known that.
Coach K.
What's Bots got for us this week?
Coach K, what can basketball players do who are not a serious scoring threat to make them difficult to defend, and explain this concept to the listeners?
Well, first of all, I think it's important. It's a great strategy question. First of all, it's important that every player be a scoring threat. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to get the ball and shoot it. To be a scoring threat, you need to be ready for the ball when you're cutting to the basket. You need to recognize situations when screening on the ball and rolling to the basket. You need to always be in a position to rebound the missed shot, which most people will tell you coaches should be practicing, backside rebound, because usually if the ball is shot from the perimeter on one side of the floor, it's going to high percentage come off to the backside or the opposite side. You always should be in a position to pass the ball to the guy that is cutting to the basket or his who is a good shooter and is open. A scoring threat, and I've said this about Will Sheehy, Joe. I've said this about Will Sheehy. When he gets on the court, he needs to be more than a shooting threat. He needs to be a scoring threat. And a scoring threat is someone who can shoot, but he can also find the open man. And that's when you become a scoring threat. And what happens is, to answer a little bit more expand upon Botts's question, if I'm a coach of the other team and I'm going in against your team and you're not a great shooter, but we have to defend you because you'll screen and roll and you can hit the layup, because if we're not in a position to block you out, you're going to get the backside board. If we're not defending you, you can flash to the middle, flash to the post, flash to the short corner, receive the ball. If you are a good passer, we have to know where you're at, because when you get the ball, you're going to create an opportunity for the open man. And last but not least, to answer Botts's question, work on your shooting at all times. I tell my son and my players, guys who played for me, as much as they played defense a lot in the practice and loose balls and conditioned, we were doing shooting throughout the practice. I did not believe in 5 minutes of shooting in practice or 10 minutes of shooting in practice and then we move on. Throughout the practice, at different intervals, based on how tired we were, what part of the game we were coming off of, working on, we would put pieces together as a whole. We always involved shooting. We had wildcat shooting at the beginning, which were 7 different shots. We had things going on in the middle, and we had things going on in the end. And, of course, be able to hit your free throws. And everybody, if they work at it, can hit their free throws. Because if you can hit your free throws, you are a threat in basketball. Because you're going to get fouled if you're doing all the other things I talked about. You're going to go to the free throw line. Did I lose Joe?
Here I am. Sorry. Here I am. Joe, IU has great athletes, but shooting will kill them this year. With Indiana being in a hotbed of hoops, how can they not have any shooters? That's from Jerry in Jasper.
That's a great question from Jerry. And Jerry, my only question or my only comment is, look how we recruited. Look at the guys we brought in last year. We brought in athletes. We brought in physical, low-post-type players. We didn't bring in any shooters. Jeremy Hallwell has the ability to step out and shoot the ball, but not as consistent as we would have needed him to do, especially when we knew that we had players that were going to come in and stay 1 or 2 years, and that they were that good, and they were going to be gone. But let me tell you this. Let me remind fans of this. Oladipo was not a good shooter when he came in. Oladipo worked hard, became a better shooter. Now he's on the pro level. He's going to have to work even harder. Cody Zeller worked on his shooting. He had a nice game the other night. I think he had 7 or 8 rebounds and 9 rebounds and 8 points. But we didn't recruit to the needs we were going to have this year. Yogi Ferrell runs the offense. We can't rely on him to be just a shooter at 5'10". And that's why James Blackman was a huge capture for us. Coach Green said it best. We never closed the door to James Blackmon Jr. It's recruiting is a process. These guys are young, and IU showed that their willingness to commit to James Blackmon Jr., whether he was going to stay in the fold or test the waters, was there. But that's why they needed James Blackmon so much. But it does say that we didn't recruit very well. And I know from the college coaches that I am friends with, have communicated with over the years, they put their list of needs up just like football coaches do and just like baseball groups do. We need pitchers. We need catchers. We need a quarterback. We need a running back. We need a tight end. We got to find some shooters. They didn't bring them in, and so now we've got this little gap. Let's hope that Will Sheehy can provide that for us early, but it doesn't look like it early, does it, guys?
Okay. I got another one. This one comes from Mark in Santa Claus. Are the Pacers a serious threat to dethrone the Heat?
The Pacers are a serious threat to get an opportunity to play the Heat. I think that there's a couple of things that's so far off. People have to stay healthy for the Pacers. They have definitely improved their basketball team for late game situations, for substitution situations. I think they absolutely have done it. There is a college-like enthusiasm with this Pacers team, at least early on. And folks, never underestimate the importance of enthusiasm in sports, in any job you have. You got to have some enthusiasm. You got to have, I didn't say fun, you got to have enthusiasm for what you do. And I see some college-like enthusiasm in this Pacer team. We play tremendous defense. The Pacers play great defense. If Hibbert stays healthy and the offense continues to develop, they are a serious threat to take the Heat all the way. Now, dethroning them depends on what the Heat do. Have they had too much success already? Will they stay healthy? Is Dwayne Wade capable of going a whole season and staying physically healthy, which matters mentally all the way? If Chris Bosh does not develop a little bit more in the post, that bodes well for the Pacers, because the Heat have not addressed that. I think they'd like to with Greg Oden, but he's got a long way to go. If somebody can make it, I'm rooting for Greg Oden to make it. But, yeah, I think the Pacers, if they stay healthy, especially Hibbert, I think they are a threat to take the Heat all the way to the hilt. And remember last year, guys, a substitution, a critical mistake substitution kept us from dethroning the Heat. Joe, I got a question.
Okay.
I got a mailbag question,
and
it concerns the Boilers.
Oh, football and basketball.
Jim tweeted me and asked, does the 109 points scored by the Boilers indicate that this team is better offensively than last year's team?
Well, anything is better than last year. But I watched the game on a computer. I long for the days of Channel 4, where we can watch every game, IU and Purdue game, and not have to be sitting on a dang computer. But Central Connecticut was a very bad team. They could basically do what they wanted whenever they wanted. They hit a bunch of threes, which that's always, no matter who you're playing. Last year, if they'd have played a Holy Family seventh grade basketball team, they wouldn't hit threes. So there were some bright spots, but I don't indicate that means they're going to win the Big Ten championship or anything. There's
these early season games, some of these games are, you know, but then again, you know, Northern Kentucky, they won that one by one, you know, kind of like, you know, Long Island, yeah, you beat Long Island by one, but, you know, you, as a fan, you sit there and you think about that kind of stuff. But at the same time, at the end of the season, guess what? It doesn't go down as a bad loss. It's just a one more win. What's your opinion?
Well, the only thing that I would add to that is I don't care who they played. They won the game. They scored the points. Let's face it, Joe, we've seen that Purdue team last year play teams that weren't very good, and they weren't very good. But this is a team that did score 109 points. It did shoot over 50% from the field. It shot about 38% from three. I think this is a vastly improved team over last year. But again, that isn't saying much because that team last year may have been the poorest offensive team, production team, in Purdue since, I don't know, you'd have to go before Gene Katie.
You have to go back even before Gene Katie. And even those teams of the 70s weren't bad, so I don't know how far back you'd have to go. But, you know, the thing about Purdue, though, is when you look at compared to last year, I mean, you've got the two fifth-year seniors. You got Carter and you got Peck. Peck's been playing nice right now. Carter's been hitting some outside threes. You've got Bryson Scott, who's got a 24-year-old body. He's 18 years old, freshman. You've got Kendall Stevens that's, you know, able to shoot, for, you know, the Reggie Miller length threes. You've got Basil Smalo. And so you've got a lot of things that have been added to the team. So in that aspect, it is a different team just because personnel-wise it is a different team.
Yeah, absolutely. But I do hope for good things for Coach Painter. And hopefully we can get him on the show. Maybe feeling a little bit better about his team. We got about 3 minutes or so left, Joe. And I do want to say something. Maybe one of our listeners can help me. As you know, I've known Coach Dockage, or Dan Dockage, for a long time. And lately he's been kind of persnickety. He's just been kind of emotionally up and down. Bad mood, good mood, cranky. I don't know. Could be personal life. I don't know what it is. But he blocked me on Twitter the other night. He was railing on the Kentucky fans a little bit about complaining that, you know, here's Kentucky talking about how relevant their schedule is, pre-conference schedule is, because they play Michigan State. And then he was talking about some of the other crappy teams they play. I tweeted, Double D, IU hasn't played a relevant pre-conference schedule in years. He got mad. He said, this discussion isn't about IU. Go away, Kenny, or I'm going to block you. And, of course, me, I said, Double D, all right, I'll stop, but I'm not going away. So he blocks me. So to any of our listeners out there, tweet at Dan Dockage and tell him to unblock Kenny Schulteis or the Coach K and Joe show, or at Coach K and Joe on Twitter, so we can keep up with Double D and some of his nonsense that he talks about. Sometimes good things, but also nonsense. But he blocked me, Joe.
You got blocked by Double D. I don't know what the deal is. You know, I listened to his show, and he's been like that. He's been kind of crazy, kind of grumpy. You know, and he calls it snarky. I think it's, you know, I enjoy his show, but sometimes I do have to turn it off because I get tired of him. You know, and
I want our listeners to one other thing before we end. I also was tweeting with Doug Gottlieb at ESPN, and we were talking about Michael Jordan, and he was talking about MJ. He loved MJ, but a lot of the players from MJ's era couldn't stack up with the players of this era. I laughed. Are you telling me Akeem Olajuwon, Drexler, the guys that played with the Sonics, Pippen, Shaq, we can go on, Penny Hardaway in his prime, Bernard King, the mailman, what are you talking about, Doug Gottlieb? And so we tweeted back and forth. If they had the same training potential or possibility, Joe, wouldn't you agree they would be the stars of the league now?
Oh yeah, I think he's totally off base on that. So yeah, I think if you put Elijah Wan, some of them in a draft right now, and so they had to get people up off their roster to pick them up, the line would form real fast.
Oh my gosh, amazing players from that era. And the other thing, Joe, is physically they would have the advancements of the training. I mean, just because you have LeBron James today, that's one guy. There's nobody else that stands out like, oh my gosh, this is a evolution of the basketball player. We had Shaq. We had Daryl Dawkins. We had a lot of guys. Sean Kemp. For a number of years before he broke down, those guys could all play today and play well. We had a great show. We'll be on podcast 24 hours a day. Make sure you tweet us at Coach K and Joe. You can call the show. You can hit us on Facebook. Thank you, Scott Buning, Kurt Guxell, Bill Somm, and, of course, my partner, Joe Milligan. Another great show. Take us home, Joe.
Okay. Well, guys, tonight is football regional in Indiana. Head out and see a regional game at your convenience, and preferably the Jasper Southridge game. In my books, Jasper is going to shock. I'm not going to say shock the world. We're just going to win, and that's my final word. Until next week, this is Joe Milligan for Coach K. You've been listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Ubelar & Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. See you next week.